Hi, and welcome to Curious Conversations, the podcast where curiosity meets connection. Thanks for joining as we discuss captivating stories and ideas and engage in thought-provoking conversations with experts, enthusiasts, and everyday people. We hope to ignite a curious spirit as we embark on a quest for understanding one curious conversation at a time. So let's jump in this together. Welcome to the world of Curious Conversations. And welcome to Curious Conversations. We are your host, Carly and Mandy, and today we are talking about strange animal behavior. Okay, Mandy, let's see. First of all, do you have any pets?
I do. So we have two dogs, and of course, they're like our babies. We have Evie, who is a Chihuahua. She's a dear Chihuahua. And then we have Onyx, who is a Shih Tzu, and a whole lot of trouble sometimes.
I have met both of your babies. I often refer to myself as their Aunt Carly.
There you go.
They're very sweet. They are amazing.
Thank you.
So I have a couple of pets, and they're not conventional. I have rats. I have two fancy rats. One is Rosie, and Rosie we adopted from a friend. And then Rosie seemed to need a little sister. So I went and picked her up one. And her name is Stella. So we have Rosie and Stella. And then Snail, and his name is Gary. So he's pretty boring. He doesn't do a whole lot.
So I think the rats are so cute, and they're so friendly, right?
They are. I carry them around in a little pouch, and they like to hang out with me. So they're great.
Oh my gosh. Well, today we have two interviews to share with you, and one is from someone who is no stranger to pets and has seen her fair share of strange animal behavior, and then one that is just a really cute story of how animals can bond, not just with humans, but with each other as well.
Yeah, that's right. But before we dive in, we want to share with you this week's Curious Dish. This is the part of our show when we dish about the most curious thing we've seen this week. Mandy, how about you go first?
Okay, so this couldn't be more fitting. And this, awesome. I'm so serious. I'm going through Marketplace, you know, because I like that online thrifting. I love to check out thrift stores, and this way I can just kind of lay back and look through other people's things and see what weird thing I might come across. But I have to say, this one surprised me, and maybe this is a thing and I'm not part of this world. But it was a lion's cage bed.
What?
Yeah. So it's exactly what it sounds like. It's like the old fashioned, you know, like circus came to town in the 50s kind of thing. It's got the bars like a cage. It's got the top, and it's all surrounding a large bed. It's got the cage door. You hope nobody locks you in that thing in the middle of the night. And yeah, you're sleeping inside of a lion's cage. And that's a thing, evidently.
You know, I think I would probably be panicked. I don't think I could do it.
Yeah. So I guess somebody felt the same because this sucker was up for sale.
Okay. Did you buy it?
I did not buy that. I did not.
I don't blame you.
Okay. What do you have that that tops the lion's cage?
Oh my gosh. You know, not an object, but I did read an article that I thought was very interesting. It was just a study was done that proved that female frogs will often play dead to get away from pursuers.
Oh, is that right? Frogs?
Yes. Yeah. Which I thought is really interesting, but you know, it's not just I have a headache. They're just playing absolute dead to be left alone by male frogs. And I thought that was very interesting.
Okay. That's funny. And so you don't think of animals, especially like amphibians or whatever, having that kind of thought process? I mean, is that thought out, or that's just a natural, it just happens?
Yeah. You know, I think it is, you know, it's the animal kingdom. So it's not like a loving, caring union between two frogs. I think it is a little more, I'll say, aggressive and unwanted. And, you know, so they've just evolved over time and learned if I just turn upside down and I be dead, I don't have
I'm
to.
I'm good. Oh my gosh. Okay. That certainly falls into the strange animal behavior. So now I have to ask Carly, do you have any strange personal strange animal stories? You have something?
Ooh. All right. So I don't know about strange animals. I have a strange personal story. It was just unique. And for me, it was a kind of a dream come true. I have ridden on an elephant. Have you ever done that?
Oh my gosh. Okay. So I have, and I was pretty young, and it was at, it was like at a little circus, one of the small circuses. Where were you? Did we ride the same elephant?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I was in Central Florida somewhere. This is when I was a little kid, and I can't imagine that there's a whole lot of elephants just roaming around, you know, this part of the United States freely. So I don't know. Maybe it was the same, like a traveling circus that came through. I don't know. Okay, I have to. Well, I have a picture though.
Oh, you do? Okay. I don't think I have a picture. I would have to ask my mom, but I'm just going to go with that version of the story. It was the same elephant. We both got to ride it. And what was
it
your
sounds
experience?
Great, right?
Yeah. Did you know, like it?
I don't remember a whole lot about it. You know, I look back and see the picture and I can remember, oh yeah, I loved that, you know, but I don't remember the actual events of the day. I know that you had to climb, you know, there was a step ladder that was, I mean, more than a regular ladder. And then you had to get into a barred box and you just hung on, just hung on tight. But, you know, from a kid from the middle of Florida, it was just awesome and an experience that I just thought, well, I'll never experience, you know, outside of a zoo, an elephant again. But I do have something that's kind of ironic along those lines. At one point, the home I grew up in, my dad was removing a tree from the back. I think the roots may have been kind of growing too close to the house or whatnot. And so he knocked that tree over to get it out of the way. And there were bones wrapped up in the roots. And I thought, you know, that's odd enough, you know, but they knew it didn't look the size of like a dog. It didn't even look the size of like a human. It was just a, gosh, what are these? These are big. And so they had someone come out and it was an elephant. They found what? Elephant bones. Yeah. In Central Florida, that it was just the strangest thing. I don't know.
At your house?
Yeah.
Okay, that's crazy. Weird. Yeah, that's weird. So you never told me that story before today. So growing up, I always wanted to find something. You know, you always want to dig something up. You think you're going to find some treasure, some weird story, and you literally did.
Yeah, absolutely, I did. You know, unless it was just a dog, and my parents wanted me to have a much more fun story to hold on to. I just thought it was amazing. I told everybody.
Oh, yeah. I love that. Okay. That's very interesting. I wish you had those bones like right now and you could showcase that.
Me too.
We could put that on our page, you know, but so that makes me think of a personal story being when you're talking about like the, we're talking about circus animals and these sort of animals. Well, there was a tiger story for me. I was way too grown to be making these kind of foolish decisions, but we were at a petting zoo and they had like the, you know, some more, you know, farm animals and that kind of thing, more, a little more domesticated. And then they had some wild animals. And I don't know, this has been a while back, so I don't know why this wasn't really policed or whatever, but I had a moment where I almost touched a tiger.
Really?
Yeah, I wanted to really bad. I know how foolish that was at home. Nobody do this. But I wanted to so bad. And I'm like trying to get coverage, like watch me, make sure nobody's coming around. I've got to put my hand in this, you know, through like that bed with the whole bars all the way around. It was like that. And yeah, so I guess at the last minute, the tiger wasn't coming and it was just kind of rolling its eyes and done with me. And so, you know, I didn't get mauled or anything, which is a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. In the moment, it felt worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. Just to be able to say you did it. You know, I'm just, it was way back in the days before they put up the double gates, you know, you can't go past this one and then you put this one and then you have the cage.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, this was just out. It was like walking around to pet goats, except it was in its little cage. But other than that, it was pretty accessible had that tiger decided to come towards me.
And how brave of you. I will say really quickly, I wanted to pet a cow. I just think cows are really cute. And I was driving down the road one day and I saw a bunch of cows in the pasture that I was driving past. And so they were close to the fence. I pulled over and I could get pretty close to a little one. And I thought, you know, I'm just going to put my hand through there. It's going to be fantastic. I did that. I was wearing a suit, a business suit, put my hand through there and the cow started to walk towards me. So I don't know if it was just used to humans. Maybe their humans, I don't know, fed them or something, but it started walking towards me like it just didn't care. It scared me so bad. I yanked my my arm out and I ripped my suit, my jacket.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I didn't have the nerves.
Okay. I like the cows too. They're sweet. And I wished I would have known you years and years before, because we actually lived at some property where a guy had his longhorns on the property adjacent to ours. And we kind of helped take care of those. And you could hand feed these like an apple or something. They were super sweet. They just couldn't help this horn going on. And of course, my mom named all of those like they were her own pets. And one time she was feeding who we called Wooly Bully. And all he did was turn his head and her stomach turned an awful green color where he hit her in the gut with that big old horn, like her poor stomach. Yeah. So that was not good, but they were sweet. They couldn't help themselves.
Oh, man. All right. So don't play with the ones with the big horns. Got it.
There you go. Got it.
Well, you know, as we mentioned before, we do have a couple of really fun interviews we're going to share. And the first one is from Julie Lewis, who is sharing a few stories, and they are all about cats. So here we go. Good afternoon, Julie. Thank you for joining us. We're very excited to have you here today. And for those of you that are listening that aren't aware, Julie is Mandy's mom. So maybe we can get some inside scoop, you know, some embarrassing stories. Who knows? Thank you, Julie, for coming on. I have a question for you, Mandy, now that your mom's present. Tell us about growing up and your pets. Did you have a lot of pets growing up?
Yeah, we had a lot at different times, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, probably the most. Cats mostly. That's true. We lived out in a farm type area for a while. And did we get up to 23?
Twenty-seven.
How fun.
Yeah.
I bet you could open a bag of cat food and they would come from all over.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so they were all outside then and they just kind of did their thing. But I remember there was a ton of cats and we had names for all of them and everything. So that was probably the most, but we had indoor cats growing up, you know, when I was growing up. And so we always had cats.
Yeah. And I had cats growing up, but we always had cats and dogs when I was growing up.
Hmm. Yeah. When we were talking about the strange animal behavior, you know, I immediately thought of you and thought of, stories that I knew and some before I was born. So, you know, having you as a guest here, I think it's a perfect fit. And I was thinking we just go back to, like I said, I only know this story because I've heard it several times. But if you want to tell about the stories when you were a kid.
Okay. Well, thanks for having me on. I've I have told these stories a lot, so but they're pretty interesting. I know they, you know, my kind of not real crazy, but it's kind of interesting to me. I guess I'll start with the first one that it goes back to. I was pretty little, and we lived in basically a pine grove. It was, you know, wooded all behind us and to the side, and pretty wooded on another side. So, you know, we were right on the edge of the woods, and played out in the woods, you know, edge of the woods, and had animals outside and everything. And then one summer, we started noticing a very large cat at the edge of the woods. And when I say large, I would say you could see his eyes glowing at night, you know, when it was dusky dark. And he's probably, I don't know, 2.5 feet off the ground or more. And just stayed at the outskirts of the yard. And we all noticed him. We started calling him Big Black. This is like the biggest cat I've ever seen. And he lingered around in the yard and everything. And then my daddy worked at night, so he really didn't see the cat or anything. But in the afternoon, one time when he was home, I heard something that sounded exactly like a woman screaming in the woods. And I was scared, you know, what in the world is that? And
yeah.
So daddy's like, come down. I got his attention and everything, and he didn't hear it for a long time, but then he did hear it. He said, oh, that's a wildcat. That's a panther. And I'm like, okay, well, I didn't make that association with Big Black right off the bat, but we heard the screaming in the day and saw the cat in the evenings. And, you know, at that time we did have a big pen, like a dog lot, and the dogs were out there. And like I said, we played out in the yard until dark often. And so all I think is maybe now is that cat was, you know, kind of lurking around to see what he might be able to get, you know, from the yard.
Like y'all.
But
like something, yeah, like kids.
Or a cat or a kid or a dog. So anyway, so that was one summer. I don't know exactly how old I was, but then he came back the next year around the same time. We could hear the screaming out in the woods and see him lurking at the edge of the woods. But those, I think it was just the 2 years. But we just called him Big Black. And like, I was so young, I just thought it was Big Black Cat until Daddy made the association, you know, it was Panther.
I remember the first time I heard a panther scream, it 100% sounds like a woman just being tortured. It's so scary.
It's unnerving.
Yeah. Yeah. So you had not really put together, oh, that's not like a domesticated kitty cat. Like you just thought big cat.
Yeah. Big Black. Yeah, and he was huge, and you could see his eyes glowing, and, you know, like I said, 2.5 feet off the ground, he's just kind of lurking at the edge of the yard, and then the screaming in the woods is what scared me, you know, more than seeing the cat.
Oh, absolutely.
So I guess I hadn't made that a connection, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, some of the animal sounds are very creepy. There's an owl or something that gets around our house that I'll hear, and it's like a some kind of hollering sound. And then I've heard a deer make, like I've heard him make the huffing sound, but I've heard him make some kind of other weird sound. And you know, we heard one time, and I kept hearing it in the woods, and I followed, and it was a deer that had been hit by a vehicle, and so I guess it had cried out or something. It was very disturbing. But they make some pretty spooky sounds in the night.
I remember that when that happened.
Yeah. So, okay, I have to interject this because you know all my memories that when I was little, did I make it up that we were riding and there was a black panther in the road? Did I make that up?
Oh, well, your memory is better than mine. So, I don't know that you made it up. I don't, where were we? I mean, I don't remember that.
Oh gosh. I don't know. So I picture it just like woods around. And I mean, I would have been like 3 or 4, but I have this memory of like, you know, whoa, with the brakes and looking up and seeing a big black cat. I don't know. That just made me think of that. So maybe that was around there. I don't know. That might have been, who knows, but it's very clear in my head that I saw a black panther in Georgia. I don't know.
You might have been the only one.
Yeah. But you know, if we were in the area where we lived, you know, where mom and daddy lived and everything.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe that cat was still there. Just, I mean, maybe he visited more than 2 years in a row, but I don't know.
Yeah. So tell about what happened with Susan.
Oh, okay. Okay. So my sister Susan was, I mean, it's not fun. I mean, it was funny, but it's not funny, but the story, but, she was scared of the dark. And I mean, she was so afraid of the dark that when she found herself in the dark, she would just scream, you know, like,
that's pitiful.
She's in the bedroom. Yeah, it was terrible. You cut the light. She'd be in the bedroom. You cut the light out on her. She'd just, you know, let out a scream. She'd go outside and find herself in the dark, scream. So anyway, it's just something that she did. And actually, I had two sisters that were really scared of the dark. The other one just made me go outside with her. And that was Jan. She would make me go outside with her. She's 9 years older than me and like, go out with me, you know, to protect her, whatever, I guess. But anyway, so one summer, it was me and Mama and Susan were the only people at home. And it was, you know, nighttime. And Susan I don't know if she had left something in the car or she thought she had left something in the car. And I can just picture it perfectly. Mother was sitting in her chair and I'm sitting in Daddy's because he was at work. And she went out to the car to get whatever it was. And the car was parked just right next to the porch. I mean, so you just went down two levels of a porch and rounded around the car and there it was. So we're sitting there, she's gone outside, and all of a sudden she lets out a blood curdling scream. And so me and Mama just look at each other and kind of, you know, grin and roll our eyes, you know, knowingly, oh, there she goes again, you know, screaming in the dark. And then she comes, here she comes from the car up the steps, and I go to the door, and she comes up the steps bleeding from the top of her legs, just gashes, bite marks, blood just pouring down her legs. She had startled a cat, and the cat had just jumped her and just lit it, you know, just started biting and scratching all the way down her leg. So she had a legitimate reason to scream. We just thought she was screaming because of the dark, but it was so strange. And I'm trying to remember all the details about that cat, but apparently it was a stray cat that had been hanging around, and the neighbors had seen the cat too. And I guess we, I don't know, Daddy or neighbor, somebody caught it. And what I remember is they watched it for 10 days or something to make sure it didn't have rabies, I guess. But we felt so bad because, you know, that she went outside and that was just her thing, you know, to scream when she got caught in the dark. But here she comes, just blood pouring down her legs. And I don't know why the cat attacked her like that. I mean, usually you would think that they would just run if you startled it.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like a domesticated cat, wouldn't it just take off? I don't know. Did y'all ever think it was that big black? Were you thinking that at first?
Oh, you know, I don't think that I did. Because there had been the gray, it was a gray, like a tabby cat had been hanging around. So, But, you know, because we lived in the country, there was always passer-throughs, you know, strays that would come through and linger, and sometimes they'd just take off, and you wouldn't see them anymore. But this one had been hanging around, and had been hanging around the neighbors, too. And, Yeah, I think if Big Black had gotten her, there would be a lot more damage.
Well, we know that there was, it worked out okay, obviously. But did your sister ever, did they make up? Did she see the cat after that? Or?
You know, I wish I remembered what happened to the cat. All I remember was that they did take the cat, capture the cat, and take it to, I guess, like, I don't know if it was a veterinarian or like, or what, but they did say they were going to watch it for 10 days. Now, what happened to the cat after those 10 days? I don't know, but they determined it didn't have any rabies or anything like that.
Harley, have you ever been attacked by anything?
Yeah, actually. Oh. Yeah. So it was a German Shepherd, moved in to a new house, and the dogs, we had two dogs and they were both pretty aggressive. But they stayed in their little fenced in yard. Well, they every now and then would get out and the neighbor would put them back. And, but I had my daughter was playing up the hill, and this dog was out, and I went out there to get her because there was, you know, I was obviously concerned. And before I could get to her, the dog actually like stood up on his back legs and put his front paws on her shoulders. So he was right in her face. And I just kept thinking, he's going to bite her face. He's going to bite her face. And so I was running to get there as quickly as I could. And I think I could have startled the dog, you know, because I'm yelling and I'm trying to get her to go inside the house, you know, but not run too quickly. I just wasn't really sure what was happening and what he was going to do. But he did. He came after me instead. And he bit me. I have a scar. He kind of did this bite and pull thing. So you can see where his teeth kind of slid down. It's just, it was horrible. I got to her and I, you know, put my arm around her, and the dog circled us the whole way home. He circled us, and I would move her to the other side. And when he'd come around, I'd move her back, and we got into our house. But they did, you know, they came and picked up the dog, and I think they probably ended up putting him to sleep because he was aggressive and there was other calls that had been made and some concerns, but I always felt sad about it.
Yeah, that makes mixed feelings, right? Because that's your pet, but I mean, you can't have that. That's terrifying. Did you ever see Cujo? Did you ever see that movie Cujo? Okay, well, you need to watch Cujo. You need to watch Cujo. It's a very realistic. I'm not going to go into the whole thing of how they probably tormented the child actor in that, but it's very realistic. Like they just said, we're going to stick you out here with this dog. It doesn't even feel acted out, and it puts the fear in you without being like a horror movie. But it's just like you put yourself in that situation and you're trapped. And you've got a massive dog that's out of its mind that you can't predict what's going to happen. When you're telling that, I'm thinking, oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, a dog like that, that bite, that's a lot of force, right?
It is a lot, you know, and I used to, I mean, I'd pet any animal. I didn't care. Big dogs now, you know, even friendly dogs, I do some work and have some meetings with the police department, and they have the drug dogs there. I won't touch them. And I know they probably think, she doesn't want to come near our drug dogs. But, you know, it's the same kind of dog that I was attacked by. So I'm a little more timid about it now.
Oh, my gosh. So this is the perfect lead-in for another story that my mom has. It's like the more dramatic of some of our stories. I mean, there are several sprinkled through the years. I know we could tell a lot of different stories, but this was a big story. What happened with my mom and her cat? It was the cat when I was growing up. I mean, she can tell, but we got him my senior year of high school. So do you want to tell about that, Mama, like just back from the beginning?
Yeah. Well, what happened, to understand my relationship with this cat, a girl I worked with, someone abandoned kittens at her apartment, and I was not looking to get a cat or anything, but she brought this little puff of black fur to me at work. He was not weaned. He was that little. And it was in October, so he was a Halloween, solid black, and named him Samhain, Celtic for Halloween. And he had to be fed every 2 hours, at first with a dropper, and then with a little baby bottle. And so talking about getting attached, I was so attached to him, and he slept with me. And I mean, Mandy, you know, you helped feed him.
Yeah.
And
like a little baby brother.
Give him his bottle. And he was just, so he was just like filled my hand is when I got him. He was just a little puff in my hand. And so anyway, he was totally spoiled and adored. And slept on my bed, and you know, I never let him outside, and there was a couple of times he got outside and I was just, you know, panic and desperate to get him in because I was very protective over him. And anyway, so we were both very bonded, and I'd had him about, what did I say, 12 or 13 years, something like that. And I had moved into this house. And the house was needed a lot of repair, and I was not very happy living there. So it was just me and him, and I had a dog that was outside, and I think I had some outside cats at that time too. Anyway, so we'd been living there for a little while, and I had gone into the bedroom on this particular day looking for him. I couldn't find him anywhere. And I went in the bedroom and he was under the bed and he was acting really strange. And I kept trying to, you know, call him and coax him and get him to come out from under the bed because I thought he must be sick or something was wrong with him or something like that. And he was just acting so strange. And finally, he came to the edge of the bed where I could, you know, reach down and get him. And so I reached my hand down to pick him up, and he just attacked me. He latched onto me, bit down into my hand. He was biting my hand, bit my leg. He was scratching. It was as if I had, you know, tried to pick up a wildcat. And it was so frightening and upsetting, and I was panicking because I couldn't get him off my arm at first. I finally got him off of me, and I ran out. I grabbed a portable phone at the time, is what I had, and I ran outside. And when I looked in the window, I called Mandy, and I was just hysterical. When I looked in, he was just, I don't know how to describe it, the way he was kind of stomping like a wildcat, like he was raising his paws and down, stepping real purposeful, like he was stalking something, you know, it was like an animal I didn't even recognize. And so I was in pretty bad shape, and Mandy took me to the hospital, and the puncture wounds on my hands, they said, could have caused me to lose the use of my hand where they were. It was puncture wounds, I guess, are pretty more serious, I guess, and like scratches and things like that. But I'm like, you look, Carly, I have some scars to remember on my hand and on my leg. And so I ended up having to have a tetanus shot and get treated at the hospital and everything. And then was able to get back home and get my cat to the vet. And they examined him and, you know, checked him out. And he wasn't sick or they could find nothing wrong with him. And he actually had went back to being exactly my, you know, sweet loving cat I'd had forever. I was crying because not only did it hurt and it was scary, but I mean, that's my pet, my cat, that we had, you know, he slept on my bed every night. I was devastated.
So I have bottle fed a cat before. I was actually pregnant with my first child and found a little kitten clung to the side of a tree. I think probably dogs killed her mother. So I plucked her off and bottle fed her. Like you said, it's every 2 hours, you know. There's a whole lot to it, but you have a bond with, you know, with a pet that is just strange. It's very mother childlike. So when, you know, if that pet turns on you, it's almost like your child saying they hate you for the first time. You know, it is heartbreaking. Yeah. Had he ever displayed any of that before?
No. Well, you know, Mandy would antagonize him sometimes.
Okay, yeah.
Because she would pet him when he did not want to be petted, and he would kind of slap her and stuff like that. Yeah. But he gave warnings, and I told you know, that he was giving you warnings that he didn't like that.
I know. Go ahead.
Well, just to say, as far as aggressive, you know, behavior or anything, I mean, that's just normal cat. What he was doing with Mandy was just like normal cat, like, stop touching me. This is a warning slap, you know, that kind of thing. But not, I don't think he ever did anything like that, anything remotely like that. No.
So here's the thing. I am guilty about that. And I probably am still a little bit like that, but certainly when I was younger, like I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And so I'm kind of notorious for that. So what she's talking about. So I would want to pet him and he would have that cattiness where he would like turn his head and look like, stop, I don't want that. And, you know, I did. And so I kept pushing, like, no, love me. Let me touch you. I want to pet you. Just let me do this. And yeah, he didn't like that. So he would kind of paw at me or, you know, make a noise or usually just like scoff and then, you know, run off or something. But it was
jump
just
up and run away.
Yeah, it was just like the cattiness, you know, just that annoyance. But no, he was nothing like that. That was the most bizarre thing. Because I remember when you called, and you were so upset, and I was trying to, you know, weed through that, what was going on. And I was thinking, what? Why would he do that? And I mean, it was rough. Like you talked about the cat attacking Susan. It was like some stray something that, you know, I don't know what happened.
Yeah, well, Julie, what do you think happened?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I will say that the you know, like I said, I wasn't happy at the house I was living at there. The house had some, I don't know, vibe or whatever is a good word, but there were certainly some unnatural, even I would say maybe supernatural things going on at the house. And, it was a very uncomfortable time where I living there. I just felt that unease there at all times, which was real unusual for me because, I mean, I was accustomed to being alone a good bit. And, I mean, it wasn't just being alone or anything like that, but it was just there was unnaturalness about the house and living there. And I just wondered if that would impact him. And because he'd, like I said, he'd never done anything remotely like that. And I had some other instances at the house that were, I'd just say, probably supernatural. And that's one thing I could think of that I felt like, because at first I thought, did he smell something on me? But his behavior was so violent and so unnatural. And even when I was outside looking in, he was behaving like a different animal.
Yeah, I'll say, you know, you lived in several different places too during that time period. And I'm thinking now he was, because it could sound like, you know, well, it's a new place or it's, you know, something different. Of course, you had been there for a little bit, but he had lived in three other places previously, right? Where there was no, it was three. Yeah. Where there was nothing like that happened. And then this house, which you say, and I was in that house, and I do know, I can't put to words what was going on in that house, but I wouldn't go into it again ever.
No, neither would I. I would hope that no one lived in that house. But yeah, he had been, yeah, I believe it was three houses prior to that. And he had never, I mean, you know, there's always like a few days where an animal is getting used to the new environment and everything. And once they know that you're there and their stuff is there and their food is there, then usually they settle on down. And he did, but he didn't act that way when I first moved there. It was after I'd been there for a while. I'd been there a few months.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, and I know it's part of a bigger story, but I just know that back during that time there were some things going on that were strange, and they increased about that time. And you know, they say animals sense things, you know, way more than we even do, and a lot of us pick up on things that maybe we can't put into words, and it sounds sort of hokey to say, oh, it was haunted or it was this or that. But if you ever have felt something or sensed something, even if you can't put your finger on that to name it, you know what I'm talking about. Carly, I don't know if you've ever had anything like that or had a situation where you felt a vibe from something, or you felt like a place was, I don't even know how to put that into terms, but affected by something supernatural.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, and you and I have even had conversations about it. It doesn't necessarily have to be a place. It can be, you know, an item that you have in your home, or just, you know, we've got to guard ourselves at all times. But I do think you're on the right track with animals being a little more sensitive to things. I think that's why, you know, we use drug dogs and not drug people. Can you imagine people sniffing around, you know? You know, they're able to pick up on things and are more in tune with their senses, and they don't have jobs and bills and kids to worry about. So they could be a little more focused on things. So, you know, and I think that's where animals come into play with, what are the animals that go around with handicapped? What's the word I'm looking for?
Service.
That's the word. That's a simple word. service animals. You know, they even have service animals for folks that have emotional trauma or maybe like a mental illness or things like that, because they are so sensitive and have such a connection with their owners. So who knows what happened, but that is shocking.
It was. And like she said, that there was a lot of things going on that I had sensed. Even a neighbor had moved out because, you know, they were uncomfortable in the neighboring house. There were, I guess you'd say it is more of a bigger story, but of all the other things going on, but that's what I felt like he was experiencing, something very intensely, and it impacted him, which I never expected. I mean, you reach down for your pet, you know, dozens of times, and you never would expect that to happen.
So, and I'm assuming he never did that again.
Never, no, he went back to his normal self.
You know, it makes me think of the stories you hear about children being sensitive to things, and they're like, "Oh, mommy, did you see the so and so?" it's terrifying. And then you hear these stories, and you know, some of them have been made into books or TV shows or whatever, but and it's something that's affecting them for a time, and then it goes away. And you think, why couldn't that happen with an animal? But, you know, I remember that experience and you and how, you know, weirded out you were by all that, and how his response to that. And it was just like in a capsule. It's something that happened, and then he went on. So to me, obviously something, he was seeing something, feeling something, and felt threatened.
Yes. Which I do remember, even though when I did take him to the vet and they said he was fine and everything, I do believe he slept in his carrier that night. So I was just not real comfortable with putting him back in the bed right away. But he did, I mean, he was fine after that.
I'd forgotten that till you said that. But this may have nothing to do with nothing, but when Carly mentioned items, do you remember when you moved into that house, there was some really strange stone on the back step?
That's right. Yeah, like a big cluster of stones or like a really strange shape.
And it was large.
It was very large on the back steps, wasn't it?
It was on the back steps. It was a greenish, glowy type color, remember?
Yes.
And it was like...
You know, I love...
Go ahead. I don't know how to describe it.
Well, you know, it made me think of a cluster of crystals, you know, like, or that's probably not the correct word for, you know, the way crystals form, but it made me think of that. But, you know, which I love, crystals and rocks, and I always have. Ever since I was a kid, I've always had picked up rocks and, you know, anything that had a sparkle to it, or I thought I liked the shape of it. But I really was not, I didn't really feel that drawn to that. I mean, I didn't feel like comfortable with that.
Yeah.
That thing.
I remember it was like a weird thing. And normally I would have thought you would be like, oh my gosh, did somebody leave this? I'm going to bring this in and, you know, make a centerpiece or something out of it, because it should have been cool, but it put something off that was very yuck.
Yeah. And so it just stayed out there.
Yeah. You didn't get rid of that. It just sat there.
I just sat there. That whole house, that whole experience of living there was something else. It was a strange setup from the get-go. But.
Well, I will say, I'll add this as secondary. In the past few years, I mean, I thought not much about that house afterwards other than the weird stories that we had. But I have found out within just the past year that the house behind where there was a lot of activity, and then they moved out, and then suddenly the activity picked up at your house. That house burned down. And I also, that house burned down. And I also found out that your road did not used to dead end, because she was the last house on the left. Like the horror movie, last house on the left. And what years and years ago, the road kept going through what you know of down there as a field and woods and all. And there was a man killed out there.
Really?
At the railroad tracks. And I did not find that out till last year. And evidently it was a pretty horrific thing. And that's why they changed the road.
Oh.
Yep.
For what it's worth. I didn't get to know before I moved in that house.
Yeah, this was a long time ago. So, yeah, you could never tell that that used to be a road. It looks like it's an intentional dead end. But, yeah, I was told where it rerouted and, like, how it went and everything. So I thought that was just something to, you know, tuck in with the other stuff that I don't know how to explain.
Interesting. Wow. I didn't know that.
I'm hearing a whole other episode come together. right before me.
Absolutely. There's certainly a lot of material there.
Yeah. But as far as the cat stories go, that was certainly strange animal behavior. And I kind of took the cake with some of the ones we had throughout the years. But anyway, he lived on to be, what, 16?
17. He would have been 17 that October, yeah, that he passed. But he was precious. Nobody's been able to fill his catly shoes since. But except for that one day.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you for sharing with us.
Well, thanks for having me. I enjoyed, I like to tell stories, and I enjoyed that. So thanks for having me.
So I told you there'd be several cat stories, and obviously knew all about those from my mom. But I can't wait to hear your interview with Colleen, who I haven't met, and I don't know her strange animal story.
Yeah, so Colleen's story is a sweet one. It's about a crow and a possum. And the story was fun because now, while I do love crows, I love possums even more. And I've even had a pet possum. It was very short term. But my daughter's dog decided to play with a possum one day in our yard. And he ended up hurting the little guy. He had a little bit of a cheek puncture and was kind of bleeding a little. He was stunned. But other than that, he was pretty cute and a healthy thing. So, in an effort to help, I brought him inside, gave him a bath, kind of just nursed him back to health. But, he never really seemed to bond with me as much as I bonded with him. I'd carry him around like all day and he'd snuggle up on my shoulder and he'd take naps. But I mean, as soon as I spent a few hours away from him, it was like he had forgotten all about our bond. and he would hiss at me again until I like forced him to sit with me and rebond. So we didn't have him long. He healed up pretty quickly and we let him go in the woods, which he seemed very happy about. He was ready to go. So be uneventful. But Colleen's story is much more interesting than mine. So let's check it out.
So let's start at the beginning. So you live on a farm? Is that correct?
We live what used to be a great big farm. Now it's not. It's just we live out in the country and there's still a lot of land out here. And there's still people that farm. Mm-hmm. But we basically live on the farm. But yep. We don't farm.
Got it.
But we have a lot of animals out here. Possums and squirrels. And sometimes you'll see a fox and deer everywhere. And it's just beautiful out here. But we see that possums have been around for a long time. I don't see any raccoons. That's what's so weird. But the possums, I used to have cats that I were outside and I fed them on the porch and the possums would, there were three of the cutest little babies possums that came up. I just, they were adorable. And I couldn't take the food away from them.
And, I know.
But anyway, that's where I kind of started really liking possums. At first I was kind of freaked out by them because, bless their hearts, they aren't beautiful animals. They're just, and they hiss at you if they're scared and they won't do anything, but they don't get rabies. They kill fleas and ticks and all kinds of things, and they're really very beneficial. And so I don't do anything to, scare them off or anything like that.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I think they're fantastic animals.
They are. My granddaughter and our daughter were visiting. I think our granddaughter was on, it was back in October. So it was probably fall break or something. They live in Perry, Georgia. And they were up and we were outside and she had been outside and she'd gone up on, we have what I call the sky deck. It's just a fancy deck that connects two buildings. But River, that's my granddaughter's name, River Ray.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Always call her River. I call her River Ray of Sunshine.
Oh.
But anyway, she was my first granddaughter. not my first grandchild. Her brother was my first grandchild. And anyway, she had her cell phone with her. And she called me. She said, "Granny, you need to come out here." She said, "There's a dead crow out in the backyard." And I said, "A dead crow?" And I've never seen a dead crow. We've seen crows, but I've never seen an actual dead crow lying in the backyard.
Right. Hey, me either.
Yeah, I mean, really, crows are smart creatures themselves. So, So anyway, she went down the steps and was standing there. And I came out and I saw this possum at the crow. And it started dragging it. It put it in its mouth, not the whole crow, just a part of the wing. And it started dragging it. I thought it was going to drag it off because I don't know what possums eat. I don't know whether they eat crows or not, but or dead things. But it kept coming toward the river with this crow in its mouth. And it was, bless its heart, like I said, it was old. And it was really walking slowly. And it came all the way up. You can see it in that. I've got to get that video to you. But you can see the possum comes with the crow in its mouth all the way up to River's feet. Oh. I mean, her shoes. You can see her tennis shoes. And it stops. And it probably waited a little bit. It was like it didn't know quite what it was going to do. But it stopped and dropped that crow at her feet and kind of looked at her. And then it just kind of ambled off toward this outbuilding that we have and left the crow there. And I thought, what in the world? And River had never seen anything like that either. She's 16.
Right.
But she's an animal lover. She loves animals, all animals. And we were trying to figure out what that possum was doing. I mean, had they been friends? Had the crow and the possum been friends? Because seriously, I've watched birds and rabbits and squirrels play with each other in the backyard. I mean, animals of different species will play together and be friends.
Right.
And I thought, well, maybe the crow and the possum were friends and it didn't want to just leave it. So it takes it and brings it to a human how does it know that a human will help it or do something?
Right.
Maybe that the crow was dead as a doornail. I mean, it was dead. But I'm just wondering, I'm thinking maybe they were friends. Maybe the crow wanted to do something for its friend. I don't know. I like to think positive things. So,
yeah, I love it that way. I like that story. And honestly, if River has a heart for animals, I think the animals can sense that. I think they know.
I think they do, too. I know we've got a cat that looks just like my gray and white cat that I named Edzo after the cat Outlander. Because I'm a fan. But yeah. Anyway, it looks just like Edzo. And I'm just wondering if they're sisters or brothers or whatever. And it was looking in the door. We've got these French doors in the front. And it was looking in the door last night. And Edzo was just sitting there looking at it. And I thought, oh, dear, I don't need another cat. But because we adopted the two we've got. And we adopted the little dog, the little tippy doodle that I've got. So anyway, but that's the story of the possum and the crow.
I love that story. And I'm excited to share that story. I do have a special place in my heart for possums. I know some people think they're just, you know, they're going to come dig in your garbage and they're a handful. But after having one, yeah, I have a heart for them.
They have never, we have one, I've got a picture of one that Hayden freaked out. He was one of my sons, he is one of my sons, but he freaked out and it climbed up a tree and was on a limb. I didn't even know they could climb. And it and I thought, you know, that poor, and I remember thinking, because I went outside, and there it was up in that tree, and it was kind of hissing. And I thought, oh, that poor thing is scared to death. Let's just go inside and let it calm down, poor baby. You know? Because the kids are used to their mother being, I'm like that. I am. I would take in every stray dog and cat, horse, cow, goat. It doesn't matter. I would take them in if I could.
Yep.
My husband indulges me in that because he's not the animal lover I am, but he does like animals. He's not ridiculous.
Yeah. It's definitely hard to pass up one that, you know, probably could use your help. I feel you on that.
Yeah. So anyway.
Well, Colleen, I appreciate you sharing that story with us and sharing kind of a lot of information with us. I am going to, hopefully we'll be able to get that video sent over, and I'm going to post that on our Facebook page so that people can see what we've been talking about today. But I want to encourage our listeners to look you up on Facebook, Colleen Brooks. It's Colleen's Random Thoughts. And I went back through and read, you do a great job. You're a fantastic writer.
Oh, thank you. That makes me feel good to hear you say that, because I know you're involved and you're a fantastic writer too. So,
thank you.
Well, Mandy, I have really enjoyed this episode. What about you?
Yes, I have too. It's fun. Like, it's interesting stories, some fun, quirky stories, and then a little bit of scary stories if you think about some of these situations and being attacked and possible attacks and all that. But we ended on a lighter, sweeter note.
Yeah, absolutely. And I always enjoy talking to people. So if you have a story out there that you want to share with us, we would love to hear it. And we hope that you'll join us next time.
Well, listen, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, where we post exclusive content, contests, and so much more. And of course, you can keep up with our episodes through Podbean or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. And as always, if you have a story that sparks curiosity or you have something that you want us to talk about, just shoot us an email to ourcuriouspodcast@gmail.com. We'll see you next time.